This is Michael Woodward, and this is JumbleThink.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to JumbleThink, where we interview dreamers, makers, innovators, and influencers all about their journey of turning dreams and ideas into reality. Along the way, we're going to share some tips on how you can turn your own dreams and ideas into reality too. Today is a very special Thanksgiving episode. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime fan, if you've never subscribed, head on over to your favorite place to listen to podcasts and subscribe to JumbleThink. For Apple Podcasts, it's super easy. JumbleThink.com/Apple Podcasts. Now let's jump into today's show. Hey there, welcome to JumbleThink. My name's Michael Woodward. I am your host. We have a very special Thanksgiving episode for you today. Happy Thanksgiving, by the way. I hope you've maybe had some travel in your car or in an airplane and you've traveled to see some friends and family. I hope you're celebrating with them. I hope you are being thankful for your loved ones, for the things in your life that are awesome, the amazing blessings in your life. And if you're not from the U.S. and you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, maybe take some time today to be thankful. Thankful for what you have. Thankful for the people around you. Thankful for the amazing blessings in your life. In season 4, which kicked off a couple weeks ago, I told you that we have some exciting things in store for you. We've had some great guests already. We've had Jen Lederer, we've had Buster Benson, we've had LeVar Burton, we've had Aaron Price. And today we're changing it up. I told you a lot of exciting interviews are in store for season 4, but we're not stopping there. We're changing some things up and doing some fun things. Today is one of those days. I'm going to tell you a little story. A story about thankfulness and perspective and remembering what matters. When we launched JumbleThink in January of 2017, we used a tagline, the story of ideas. Ideas are built into the fabric of story. Often we think of stories of being funny or a novel that draws us into the romance or drama of what's going on. But when we look deeper at stories, often they are filled with messages, calls to action, calls to challenge our lives to go into a new direction or into a deeper space. Yeah, these books are there to entertain. They're there to captivate, but they are much more than just a novelty for us to consume. They can literally rewrite the direction where we're going. Today, I'm looking at a story called The Fir Tree. It is a fairy tale by the Danish poet and author Hans Christian Andersen. It was originally published December 21st of 1844 in Denmark. While it's not his most famous work, it is one of his most thought-provoking stories. You probably know him more for his stories like The Emperor's New Clothes, or The Little Mermaid, or The Nightingale, or The Steadfast Tin Soldier, or The Red Shoes, or The Princess and the Pea, The Snow Queen, The Ugly Duckling, or even Thimbelina. His books, his stories have captivated generations. But I hope today's story challenges you and causes you to think a little bit differently about life and your perspective. Let's go ahead and jump into this story, The Fir Tree by Hans Christian Andersen. Out in the woods stood a nice little fir tree. The place he had was a very good one. The sun shone on him. As to fresh air, there was enough of that. Around him grew many large-sized comrades, pines as well as firs. But the little fir wanted so very much to be a grown-up tree. He did not think of the warm sun and the fresh air. He did not care for the little cottage children that ran about and prattled when they were in the woods looking for wild strawberries. The children often came with a whole pitcher full of berries or a long row of them threaded on a straw and sat down near the young tree and said, "Oh, how pretty he is! What a nice little fir!" But this was what the tree could not bear to hear. At the end of a year, he has shot up a good deal, and after another year, he was another long bit taller. For with fir trees, one can always tell by the shoots how many years old they are. Oh, were I but such a high tree as the others are, sighed he, then I should be able to spread out my branches, and with the tops to look into the wide world. Then would the birds build nests among my branches, and when there was a breeze, could I bend with as much stateliness as the others. Neither the sunbeams, nor the birds, nor the red clouds, which morning and evening sailed above him, gave the little tree any pleasure. In winter, when the snow lay glittering on the ground, a hare would often come leaping along and jump right over the little tree. Oh, that made him so angry! But two winters were past, and in the third, the tree was so large that the hare was obliged to go around it. To grow and grow, to get older and be tall, thought the tree. That, after all, is the most delightful thing in the world. In the autumn, the woodcutters always came and felled some of the largest trees. This happened every year, and the young fir tree, that had now grown to a very comely size, trembled at the sight, for the magnificent great trees fell to the earth with noise and cracking. The branches were lopped off, and the trees looked long and bare. They were hardly to be recognized, and then they were laid in carts, and the horses dragged them out of the wood. Where did they go to? What became of them? In spring, when the swallows and the storks came, the tree asked them, "Don't you know where they have been taken? Have you not met them anywhere?" The swallows did not know anything about it, but the stork looked musing, nodded his head, and said, "Yes, I think I know. I met many ships as I was flying hither from Egypt. On the ships were magnificent masts, and I venture to assert that it was they that smelt so of fir. I may congratulate you, for they lifted themselves on high most majestically." Oh, were I but old enough to fly across the sea. But how does the sea look in reality? What is it like? That would take a long time to explain, said the stork. And with these words, he went off. Rejoice in thy growth, said the sunbeams. Rejoice in thy vigorous growth and in the fresh life that moveth within thee. And the wind kissed the tree, and the dew wept tears over him. But the fir understood it not. When Christmas came, quiet young trees were cut down, trees which often were not even as large or of the same age as the fir tree. Who could never rest, but always wanted to be off? These young trees, and they were always the finest looking, retained their branches. They were laid on carts, and the horses drew them out of the wood. "Where are they going?" asked the fir. "They are not taller than I. There was one, indeed, that was considerably shorter. And why do they retain all of their branches? Whither are they taken?" We know, chirped the sparrows. "We have peeped in the windows in the town below. We know whither they are taken. The greatest splendor and the greatest magnificence one can imagine await them. We peeped through the windows and saw them planted in the midst of the warm room and ornamented with the most splendid things, with gilded apples, with gingerbread, with toys, and many hundred lights." "And then?" asked the fir tree, trembling in every bough. "And then what happens then?" "We didn't see anything more. It was incomparably beautiful." "I would fain know if I'm destined for so glorious a career," cried the tree, rejoicing. "That is still better than to cross the sea. What a longing do I suffer! Were Christmas but come! I am now tall, and all my branches spread like the others that were carried off last year. Oh, were I but already on the cart? Were I in the warm room with all the splendor and magnificence? Yes, then something better, something still grander will surely follow. Or wherefore should they thus ornament me? Something better, something still grander must follow. But what? Oh, how long, how I suffer. I do not know myself what is the matter with me. Rejoice in your presence, said the air and the sunlight. Rejoice in thy own fresh youth. But the tree did not rejoice at all. He grew and grew, and was green both winter and summer. People that saw him said, "What a fine tree!" And towards Christmas, he was one of the first that was cut down. The axe struck deep into the very pith. The tree fell to the earth with a sigh. He felt a pang. It was like a swoon. He could not think of happiness, for he was sorrowful at being separated from his home, from the place where he had sprung up. He well knew that he should never see his dear old comrades, the little bushes and the flowers around him anymore. Perhaps not even the birds. The departure was not at all agreeable. The tree only came to himself when he was unloaded in a courtyard with the other trees and heard a man say, "That one is splendid. We don't want the others." Then two servants came in rich livery and carried the fir tree into a large and splendid drawing room. Portraits were hanging on the walls, and near the white porcelain stove stood two large Chinese vases with lions on the covers. There, too, were large easy chairs, silken sofas, large tables full of picture books and full of toys, worth hundreds and hundreds of crowns. At least the children said so. And the fir tree was stuck upright in a cask that was filled with sand. But no one could see that it was a cask, for a green cloth was hung all round it, and it stood on a large, gilly-colored carpet. Oh, how the tree quivered! What was to happen? The servants, as well as the young ladies, decorated it. On one branch, there hung little nets cut out of colored paper, and each net was filled with sugar plums. And among the other boughs, gilded apples and walnuts were suspended, looking as though they had grown there, and little blue and white tapers were placed among the leaves. Dolls that looked for all the world like men, the tree had never beheld such before, were seen among the foliage, and at the very top a large star of gold tinsel was fixed. It was really splendid. Beyond description, splendid. "This evening," they all said, "how it will shine this evening." Oh, thought the tree, if the evening were but come, if the tapers were but lighted. And then I wonder what will happen. Perhaps the other trees from the forest will come to look at me. Perhaps the sparrows will beat against the window panes. I wonder if I shall take root here, and winter and summer stand covered with ornaments. He knew very much about the matter, but he was so impatient for sheer longing, he got a pain in his back. And this with trees is the same thing as a headache with us. The candles were now lighted with brightness. What splendor! The tree trembled so in every bough that one of the tapers set fire to the foliage. It blazed up famously. "Help! Help!" cried the young ladies, and they quickly put out the fire. Now the tree did not even dare tremble. What a state he was in! He was so uneasy, lest he should lose something of his splendor, that he was quite bewildered amidst the glare and brightness. When suddenly both folding doors opened and a troop of children rushed in as if they would upset the tree. The older persons followed quietly. The little ones stood quite still. But it was only for a moment. Then they shouted that the whole place re-echoed with their rejoicing. They danced round the tree, and one present after the other was pulled off. "What are they about?" thought the tree. "What is to happen now?" And the lights burned down to the very branches, and as they burned down, they were put out, one after the other. And then the children had permission to plunder the tree. So they fell upon it with such violence that all the branches cracked. If it had not been fixed firmly to the ground, it would certainly have tumbled down. The children danced about with their beautiful playthings. No one looked at the tree except the old nurse, who peeped through the branches. But it was only to see if there was a fig or an apple left that had been forgotten. "A story! A story!" cried the children, drawing a little fat man towards the tree. He seated himself under it and said, "Now we are in the shade, and the tree can listen too. But I shall tell only one story. Now which will you have? That about Ivedy Evedy, or about Humpy Dumpy, who turned downstairs and yet after all came to the throne and married the princess?" "Ivedy Avedy," cried some. "Humpy Dumpy," cried the others. There was such a bawling and screaming, the fir tree alone was silent, and he thought to himself, "Am I not to bawl with the rest? Am I to do nothing whatever?" For he was one of the company. He had done what he had to do. And the man told about Humpy Dumpy that tumbled down, who notwithstanding came to the throne and at last married the princess. And the children clapped their hands and cried, "Oh, go on, do go on." They wanted to hear about Ivedy Avedy too, but the little man only told them about Humpy Dumpy. The fir tree stood quite still and absorbed in thought. The birds in the woods had never related the like of this. Humpy Dumpy fell downstairs, and yet he married the princess. "Yes, yes, that's the way of the world," thought the fir tree, and believed it all, because the man who told the story was so good-looking. "Well, well, who knows, perhaps I may fall downstairs too, and get a princess as a wife." And he looked forward with joy to the morrow, when he hoped to be decked out again with lights, playthings, fruits, and tinsel. "I won't tremble tomorrow," thought the fir tree. "I will enjoy to the full all my splendor. Tomorrow I shall hear again the story of Humpy Dumpy, and perhaps that of Ivedy Evedy too." And the whole night the tree stood still and in deep thought. In the morning the servants and the housemaids came in. "Now then the splendor will begin again," thought the fir, but they dragged him out of the room and up the stairs into the loft, and there in a dark corner, where no daylight could enter, they left him. "What's the meaning of this?" thought the tree. "What am I to do here? What shall I hear now, I wonder?" And he leaned against the wall, lost in revelry. Time enough had he, too, for his reflections, for days and nights passed on, and nobody came up. And when at last somebody did come, it was only to put some great trunks in a corner, out of the way. There stood the tree, quite hidden. It seemed as if he had been entirely forgotten. "'Tis now winter out of doors," thought the tree. "The earth is hard and covered with snow. Men cannot plant me now, and therefore I have been put up here under shelter till the springtime comes. How thoughtful that is. How kind man is, after all, if it only were not so dark here and so terribly lonely. Not even a hare. And out in the woods it was so pleasant. When the snow was on the ground and the hare leaped by. Yes, even when he jumped over me. But I did not like it then. It is really terribly lonely here." "Squeak, squeak," said a little mouse, And at the same moment, peeping out of his hole, and then another little one came. They snuffed about the fir tree and rustled among the branches. "It is dreadfully cold," said the mouse. "But for that, it would be delightful here, old fir, wouldn't it?" "I am by no means old," said the fir tree. "There's many a one considerably older than I am." "Where do you come from?" asked the mice. "And what can you do?" They were so extremely curious. "Tell us about the most beautiful spot on the earth. Have you never been there? Were you never in the larder where cheeses lie on the shelves and hams hung from above, where one dances about on tallow candles, that place where one enters lean and comes out again fat and portly?" I know no such place," said the tree, "but I know the wood where the sun shines and where the little birds sing." And then he told about his youth, and the little mice had never heard the like before, and they listened and said, "Well, to be sure, how much you have seen, how happy you must have been." "I," said the fir tree, thinking over what he had himself related, "yes, in reality, those were happy times." And then he told about Christmas Eve, when he was decked out with cakes and candles. "Oh," said the little mice, "how fortunate you have been, old fir tree." "I am by no means old," he said. "I come from the wood this winter. I am in my prime, and I am only rather short for my age." "What delightful stories you know," said the mice. And the next night they came with four other little mice, who were to hear what the tree recounted. And the more he related, the more he remembered himself. And it appeared as if those times had really been happy times. "But they may still come. They may still come. Humpty Dumpty fell downstairs, and yet he got a princess." And he thought at that moment of a nice little birch tree growing out in the woods. To the fir, that would be a real charming princess. "Who is Humpty Dumpty?" asked the mice. So then Fir Tree told the whole fairy tale, for he could remember every single word of it. And the little mice jumped for joy up to the very top of the tree. Next night, two more mice came, and on Sunday, two rats even. But they said the stories were not interesting, which vexed the little mice. And they, too, now began to think them not very so amusing either. "Do you only know one story?" asked the rats. "Only that one," answered the tree. "I heard it on my happiest evening, but I did not then know how happy I was." "It was a very stupid story. Don't you know one about bacon and tallow candles? Can't you tell any larder stories?" "No," said the tree. "Then goodbye," said the rats, and they went home. At last the little mice stayed away also, and the tree sighed. "After all, it was very pleasant when the sleek little mice sat round me and listened to what I told them. Now that too is over. But I will take good care to enjoy myself when I am brought out again." "But when was that to be?" "Why, one morning there came a quantity of people to set to work in the loft. The trunks were removed, the tree was pulled out and thrown rather hard, it is true, down on the floor, but a man drew him towards the stair where the daylight shone. Now a merry life will begin again," thought the tree. He felt the fresh air, the first sunbeam, and now he was out in the courtyard. He passed so quickly, there was so much going on around him, the tree quite forgot to look to himself. The court adjoined a garden, and it was in flower. The roses hung so fresh and odorous over the balustrade. The lindens were in blossom. The swallows flew by and said, "Quorovit, my husband is come." But it was not the fir tree that they meant. "Now then, I shall really enjoy life," he said exultingly, and spread out his branches. But alas, they were all withered and yellow. It was in a corner that he lay, amongst weeds and nettles. The golden star of tinsel was still on the top of the tree and glittered in the sunshine. In the courtyard, some of the merry children were playing who had danced at Christmas round the fir tree and were so glad at the sight of him. One of the youngest ran over and tore off the golden star. "Only look what is still on the ugly old Christmas tree," he said, trampling on the branches so that they all cracked beneath his feet. And the tree beheld all the beauty of the flowers and the freshness in the garden. He beheld himself and wished he had remained in his dark corner in the loft. He thought of his first youth in the wood, of the merry Christmas Eve, and of the little mice who had listened with so much pleasure to the story of Humpty Dumpty. "'Tis over, 'tis past," said the poor tree. "Had I but rejoiced when I had reason to do so. But now 'tis past, 'tis past." And the gardener's boys chopped the tree into small pieces. There was a whole heap lying there. The wood flamed up splendidly under the large brewing copper, and it sighed so deeply. Each sigh was like a shot. The boys played about in the court, and the youngest wore the gold star on his breast, which the tree had had on the happiest evening of his life. However, that was over now. The tree is gone, the story at an end. All was over. Every tale must end at last. In a moment, I'll be back to give you some final thoughts on today's story. There is so much going on here at JumbleThink, and we want to keep you in the loop. I hope you're enjoying today's story, and we're going to be doing some more fun things incorporating story and the art of storytelling into our shows, along with some incredible episodes. So let's stay in touch. How can you do it? There's a couple ways. The first way is head on over to jumblethink.com and sign up for our newsletter. The other ways are simply following us and following along on the journey on places like Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. You can, of course, find those links at jumblethink.com too. And I would hope that you would come join us there, not only because you can follow along with what we're doing, but you can join the conversation and hopefully find your creative purpose, find the things that are your dreams, your ideas, and start creating them too. So let's connect, sign up for that newsletter, and follow us on your favorite social media channel. Now let's jump back in to wrap up today's story.
Levez seulement le bras pour mettre l'aiguille sur le disque. Mettez le contact.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed today's little experiment. I hope you've enjoyed this story. For me, this was the first time I had ever really seen the story. I was thinking about some ideas I have for another podcast around Christmas time, and I stumbled upon this story. It really captivated me. And you may be wondering, why would you be so interested in this story? Well, there's a couple reasons. Number one, it's always fun to be reminded to be thankful for what is happening today. And that's one of the lessons, the takeaways we can have from the fir tree, that he was so focused on one day that he wasn't thankful for the things that were in his life, that he was so focused on becoming something better, something greater, and he got lost in the future instead of lost in the moment. I know for me, I often as a dreamer am looking to the future, the things that could come, where the show could go, where I could end up in the future, that I forget to take in today and be thankful for today. There are so many blessings around us, so many things to be thankful for that we get lost in and taking the time to really take stock of what's around us. Thanksgiving is a great reminder of thankfulness and being thankful for the seasons we're in. Whether hard or great, there are things to be thankful for. To be thankful for what we do have, and for us in America, many of us have a lot, and a lot to be thankful for. More than we could ever truly imagine or dream if we're really honest with ourselves. The other big takeaway for me is that your dreams don't always look like how you thought they would look. For the tree, he dreamed of being that big mast or going off to be that Christmas tree. And when he got to the reality was much harder or more painful or not the reality he expected. When we dream, when we have ideas, it is great to look to the future, but we shouldn't paint the picture that we expect. We should just set the goals and the dreams that we have and see them unfold, see how they could look once we get there. This season of thankfulness, the season of Thanksgiving, is a season to remind us. And my challenge to you, after sharing a few of my takeaways, is to celebrate this season. Today on Thanksgiving, celebrate being thankful. Be thankful and show thanks for the people around you, your friends, your family. Be thankful and let them know that you love them, that you are thankful for them. As we go into Christmas time, remember to look past what we accept as what we celebrate for Christmas. And for me, as a follower of Christ, as a Christian, I look to Christ. But in the season of Hallmark movies and shopping, we don't always remember what we are actually celebrating. Step beyond the stories we see and really go deeper in this season. There's so much to be thankful for. There is so much to celebrate. In this season, take that time, take those moments to be around the people that matter, the people who love you and you love them. Enjoy the moments of celebration. Don't rush through them. Instead of working so hard, take time to go do something fun with your kids or your spouse or your parents. These are all moments that we will never get back. And being dreamers and idea makers, we're often caught up for the one day when everything's perfect. But make today the one day. Celebrate today. Celebrate this season. Celebrate all you have to be thankful for. Well, that does it for today's show. Next week on the show, we kick off the week with Brad Forsma. He is doing some really cool stuff about giving back and around being thankful. We're going to be talking to him, and it's a really fun conversation. So you're not going to want to miss that. And then later in the week, we have Sean Bowles on talking about hearing the voice of God. And who doesn't want to hear the voice of God? So it's a fun conversation you're not going to want to miss. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, it's your turn now. I believe you were created for amazing things, that the dreams and ideas inside of you matter. So dream big and change the world around you.
En arrière, sur les côtés. Vous êtes une autre personne. Les mères de famille, les enfants peuvent également prendre un moment revitalisant. Dans quelques mois, lorsque vous aurez bien saisi la technique et que vous serez maître de votre corps, vous pourrez vous décontracter même en travaillant.